pretty cool that he came out like that.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, that was a trip, man. That entrance had to be the best entrance I've ever seen. That was really cool. All right, you ready?
Yep.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorton. I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We got a great show for you today. You know, you can call in 323-870-3857. And tonight, we're going to talk about the Canelo Alvarez and Ryan Garcia. They are going at it on social media, and we'll tell you all about it. Habib, these two lovebirds had a quarrel. If they can't survive, I mean, with their friendship, I mean, what about us? I mean, what about the rest of the country? I mean, everybody. No hope, right?
You and I, man, we're like this. Wonder Twin Powers.
Wonder
activate,
twins.
Baby.
Wonder Twins, there it is.
Wonder Boom. Twin Powers, activate.
There it is. All right, but first, we're going to get started talking about ESPN+. Joe Joyce versus Christian Hammer. Joe Joyce wins by fourth round TKO over Christian Hammer. It was a body shot that did Hammer in. It actually looked like Hammer's body did him in. He came in horrible shape, Pete. I mean, Hammer just looked awful. But to Joyce's credit, you know, he did what he had to do and got rid of him. Now, Joe Joyce looked okay here. He seemed to get hit a lot, though. But he did use his jab. He was able to back Hammer up. He was able to hurt him. I tell you what, though, he does get hit quite a bit, except by guys like Daniel Dubois, who just turtled up when he fought Joe
Whoa.
Joyce. Just saying, that's what happened. I mean, you've seen it. I've seen it.
There should never be a name more fitting than the Juggernaut for Joe Joyce. That guy is a machine. He's the next heavyweight champ of the world.
Oh.
As soon as Tyson Fury retires, that's going to be the man right there.
He's going to be the next heavyweight champion if he fights Daniel Dubois, yeah.
Please.
I would agree with that. What does, you know, he again, man, he's fighting Christian Hammer, who clearly not in his league. And I saw somebody earlier says, well, nobody's done that to Hammer. Listen, Hammer didn't exactly look like a like he came in shape for this fight. Let's put
shredded,
it that way.
What are you talking about?
Shredded wheat, shredded bubble gum.
See those right hands he was landing on the Juggernaut.
I will tell you, he hit him quite a few times, and he hit him. He looked like he hit him solid, and he was connecting with those right hands. But Joe Joyce is, you know, it was the body shot. That's what I was surprised by. It was the body shots that really did that guy in. You know,
he's a monster.
Monster.
He is a monster.
Oh,
that guy.
Good lord. Shushan Boxing says Joyce still has that thudding power. Yeah, he does. He's got some good power, no question. And he's got a good jab. When he decides to box, like he did against Dubois, he does very well. That jab is very good. He's got a great jab.
He can set up
jab.
That power. It's not just like he wings and swings for the fences. He sets up that power.
Yeah.
He's a methodical guy, man. He's just not a crude slugger brawler type guy. He sets his shots up very well.
Very good amateur pedigree with Joe Joyce. So yeah, he can fight a little bit. How do you see, I mean, you know, what did you like from Joe Joyce last night? What did you like from, you know, again, with the fourth, I don't know what we can really take away from this, you know?
Well, I like the fact that he did go to the body and he wasn't one dimensional. He varied up his offense, and like I said, he sets the shots up, as you mentioned earlier with that jab, and that jab, it's a thudding jab. It's not like he's really stepping in overly hard with it. It's just that the way he just throws it out there, he's just like, and it just moves guys. You know, he's just a heavy-handed guy. He's got like lunch boxes for fucking fists. You know
he's
what I mean? This guy's a
big
monster.
Guy, man. And, you know, just by him being that big, he's going to be more powerful. You know, I mean, like I said, he's shooting down on you. It's It's going to be a tough problem to solve for anybody right now.
It could be the second best heavyweight in the world behind TF.
Oh, my goodness.
The whole team has these
The whole team has these shirts.
Look at this.
That shirt is awesome, man. That shirt is awesome. That's the one I sent you, right? That's the one I sent you the link for.
TF gave this to me, Daddy.
I sent you the link for it. I didn't buy it for you. I'm not like that dude in California. What's his name? Who sends you clothes all the time?
Whoa.
Listen, that's not me. I'm not Akam. I'm not trying to dress you up. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying I sent you the link for the shirt. I thought it was pretty cool. Do you think he beats AJ or Usyk? You think he beats AJ or Usyk?
I think he can beat Usyk now.
You think
he's
he can beat Usyk?
He's the second best heavyweight in the world behind TF.
You know what? I tell you what. You know who I would like to see him fight? You know what I think would be a real fun fight? Deontay Wilder has stated he's going to come back. Nobody knows anything. Wouldn't you like to see him and Deontay?
Got to keep him away from Joe Joyce, man.
I think you got to keep away from Deontay.
Got to keep him away.
Because you got a guy with a good chin here, man. I think that's a fun fight. That's a fun fight.
There could never be a more fitting name than the Juggernaut.
Andy Ruiz would be another one after he gets by 90-year-old Louis Ortiz. I think that's a good – any one of those PBC guys, I'd like to see him there. I don't know. He's not going to beat Usyk. He's not going to beat AJ.
Here's the thing.
He's not going to beat either one of those guys.
Here's the thing about this guy. People talk about, he lost to this guy in the amateurs. He lost to that guy in the amateurs. He's a silver medalist in the Olympics, and they're talking about upgrading that to a gold. I don't know why something happened. I don't know. I was reading about it. I got to finish the article. They're saying like I was.
You can't upgrade it to a gold. You lost. If anybody deserves to be upgraded to a gold, it's Roy Jones.
Roy Jones, yes.
That's it.
Roy Jones. Let me see. There's an article about him. It says Joe Joyce could have his controversial Rio 2016 Olympic silver medal upgraded to a gold.
That doesn't make any sense.
This was in the Daily Mail.
You know, look, I mean, you can't, you know, listen, you lost the fight. I mean, how would a gold, I mean, you know what I mean? That doesn't even make sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't even make sense.
I guess the IOC are looking into dodgy decisions at the games past as they take control and organization of boxing at the Paris 2024 Olympics from a discredited world amateur body that includes widely condemned scoring of Joyce's controversial defeat to Frenchman Tony Yoka in the Rio 2016 final, which left him holding shoulder. So they're gonna revisit some of these decisions, I guess.
That's ridiculous. If you want to start overturning decisions, you start with that one in Seoul.
Start with Roy Jones. Yep. Yeah, even Mayweather is saying that his decision when he got the bronze was kind of controversial too.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, listen, man, boxing is what it is. If that's the case, then we got to go back and revisit all these championship decisions. I mean, James, Tony, and Dave Tiberi.
I agree with you, Eric, because you're going to do that. How far are you going to go back then, right? Once you open up that can of worms, you can't, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Y'all, well, we missed a call here, so you guys get the medal now. Listen, it is what it is. It's over with, and you moved on.
I'm with you, sir.
Yeah, you know. A lot of people think Wilder doesn't stand a chance against Joyce. Said Wilder might not be the same. But listen, man, I just think it's a fun fight. I think that's a fun fight.
Oh, it's a great fight.
I mean, that's one you definitely want to tune in for. You know, like, oh, man, that's an exciting fight for me, you know.
Listen, I'm not writing Wilder off either. He's the third best heavyweight in the world behind Joyce and TF.
Behind Joyce? Joe Joyce.
This guy's a monster, man. I'm
listen,
telling you.
I'm not his biggest fan, but I tell you what. Listen. They keep putting people in front of him, and he keeps taking them out.
Well,
and that's all you can do.
Going back to my other point with the amateurs, those are three-round fights. This guy comes on as a fight. Well, you saw him in the Dubois fight, how he just comes on late. Dubois was winning that fight, but Joyce just comes on late, right?
Yeah.
So if you can't get – like Joyce has
– I always thought Joyce was winning that fight. I thought Joyce was winning that fight from...
Did you? No, I had Dubois up, man.
maybe by that's one round or so. Maybe
yeah, I had
by
him
one
up.
Round.
It was close. I had him up, yeah. But he got Dubois got off to a great start, but Joe Joyce kicks it into second gear like in those mid rounds, mid to late rounds. He finishes so for a big guy, not even just for a big guy. This guy's got crazy stamina. He's like TF. Him and TF have the best stamina in the heavyweight division.
TF. You talking about Tommy TF. Fury? You talking about Tommy Fury or Tyson Fury? Which one? Which one are you talking about? Who's TF?
You know what I'm
Tommy Fury.
You know what I'm talking about.
Your boy's scared to go to the embassy. Which one?
You know what I'm talking about.
Team Batman says Joyce pressure game is insane. Yeah, he looks good. He's looking better and better. But I want to see him fight somebody here. You know, I want
to
see him fight.
You know, I'd love to see him fight Dillian White. Dillian White. What about
there
that?
You go. There you go. Instead, they'll probably put him in a ring with somebody else. Because, you know, no fights. Where is Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford? What's that? Now, somebody said, who said something is Marcus, Ohio One's Boxing, said he believes it's going to happen in October. And both fighters.
I believe so, too.
Both fighters are training.
So
it should take place in September. If there was any justice in the world of boxing, it would take place in September. But, you know, Canelo's fighting in September. I get it, you know.
Let me just say this. When it goes quiet like this, that's a good thing. That means they're putting it together. When there's too much talking, as we all know in boxing, that means it's all smoke and mirrors.
Well,
because it went quiet like this, they're probably working hard to get the thing done.
And both fighters are said to be training, running and all that other stuff, getting like their pre-camp workouts in and stuff like that. Yeah, that fight's going to happen, man. And neither guy is talking either.
There's not one fight in the sport of boxing that I would be looking forward to more than that.
No.
I don't even care. Even Fury versus the Usyk-Joshua winner, to me, this fight's even bigger than that.
Well,
and I love TF. You know
that. But I'll tell you what. For me, it's really the second one on my plate, to be honest with you.
Okay.
For me, that fight's going to happen in a couple weeks. It's going to be Ryan Garcia versus Javier Fortuna. I think that, to me, just the fight of the year right there.
Oh, God, man.
So funny. What's the matter with you?
Oh, it's hilarious.
You don't like that fight.
I love it, but not as good as this fight.
I don't even think that comes close, man. Like, come on, dude.
No.
Yeah, what are you doing? He calls out every champion from, you know, Floyd Mayweather, Joe Lewis, Devin Haney. He calls, you know, all these guys.
I can't even
He will
talk
not
about
fight him. Any of them, man.
I can't even talk about him anymore, man.
It's insane, man. Like, I've never seen anything like it. He is like an Instagram champion. That's it. That's it. You know? Zolani Tete. I'm on the undercard versus Jason Cunningham. Tete looked very good here, and he won via fourth round KO. Tete was in that. Did he lose to anyway?
I'm trying to remember the guy he lost to. I think it was who was that Puerto Rican guy that was in that thing, and he ended up.
And then he lost to him. Let me see.
I'm trying to remember that guy's name. We were both high on him, and we thought he was going to beat Inoue. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And Inoue starched him.
Yeah, he didn't beat Inoue. Who did he lose to? Who was that guy?
Trying to think of that guy you lost to in that tournament.
The Puerto Rican guy, right?
Yes. What the hell was his fucking name? He lost to Casemiro, I know that, back in 2019. Got knocked out in three rounds.
Yeah.
I am.
But Casemiro is, you know, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Manuel Rodriguez. Robert just texted me, Manuel Rodriguez. But
yeah.
When was that tournament? I don't even see it on here.
Yeah, but he didn't lose. I guess he didn't lose to him. but I'm trying to think. Because he was in that tournament, and he
was.
Lost.
I can't remember what happened, though.
He's
lost.
I'm trying to remember what that was. Was he...
And I don't even remember when the tournament was. Like, whatever happened with that?
That was the Bantamweight tournament.
Yeah.
Did he lose to Casimiro in the Bantamweight tournament?
Maybe.
That's probably who he lost in the Bantamweight tournament.
I don't know. I know he's a good fighter, though. I'll tell you what, he was a pretty good fighter. Oh, okay, there it is. Team Batman with the save here. Tete won his first fight and then Warren pulled him due to TV rights. I remember something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's right. Something happened where
both high on him and Manny Rodriguez at the time. And,
The Casimiro one was after the tourney.
You know, I tell you what, man. Anyway, may have, with the whole tournament, he may have gone through the toughest bracket in that tournament, period.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He beat Manuel Rodriguez. Anyway did.
Yeah.
I remember that.
It was like a second round knockout or something like that. I mean, I was floored.
And we both thought that Rodriguez was going to beat. Remember, we both picked Rodriguez.
I was completely floored.
When was that tournament?
I don't know.
Is that 2017?
Yeah,
I think when that tournament was.
Let me see if I can find it here.
Oh, it's 2018.
2018, series, okay.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay. The single elimination. And Tete was the WBO champion at the time.
Yeah.
Rodriguez was the IBF champion, Ryan Burnett.
He fought Juan Carlos Payano, which I thought he was going to win, but I thought that was going to be a difficult fight. It wasn't a difficult fight for him at all. He fought Manny Rodriguez and then Nonito Donaire.
Nonito Donaire went to the finals.
Yeah.
Tete beat won his first fight, and I guess he got Tete withdrew because he was injured.
Whatever happened to that? Why? It was like money problems or something, wasn't it?
They're saying he got pulled because he was injured or something, but
I'm talking about the actual tournament itself.
Oh, why don't they do it anymore? Yeah, I don't know. I guess they had issues with the finances for that.
Promoters hate those type of tournaments, too.
I think this, I'm not mistaken, was this on DAZN or was this on something else? Was this on YouTube or something?
The World Series? I believe so.
Or was it on ESPN? I'm trying to think where this was. Does anyone remember? I can't remember if I watched this on DAZN. My memory sucks, man. When you get old, you fucking forget everything. I can't remember if I watched this on YouTube or if it was on DAZN.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I can't remember.
Maybe both. I don't know. I know they had them on YouTube.
I think this was on YouTube, this one.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. And I think the cruiserweight one later was on DAZN. That's what happened.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what happened. I remember now.
All right. Well, speaking of cruiserweights, on ESPN Plus, I believe this is on ESPN Plus, Jai Opetaia versus Maris Bredas. And Jai Opetaia wins a unanimous decision over Maris Bredas by the scores of 116-112 twice and 115-113. Big upset there. Listen, you know, some people were calling this like the upset of the year so far. To me, Michael Conlon getting beat by Lee Wood was the upset of the year. That was just me. But Opetaia, I mean, you know, he did a good job. He really wanted that fight. I heard he had a broken jaw in that fight. Beeb, what were your thoughts on it?
This guy was amazing. You know, Rodas was the big favorite here. Where's all the Monday morning quarterbacks? Oh, I told you Opetaia was going to be a tough fight. All you guys that supposedly know everything and you're right all the time. This is This is why you're going to be wrong half the time, because it's stuff like this.
Can I say something, though? Can I say something?
Sure.
I actually had Opetaia winning by unanimous decision. I don't know, and I get no credit for that.
Yep, you did. But let's get back to reality here.
I like living in my fantasy world, to be honest with you. It's much better.
But, you know, one thing I noticed about Breedis, and it's easy to say this now because obviously when you lose, you kind of look at – when a guy's losing in a fight, you kind of look at him more under a fine-tooth comb. And I notice, like, before he throws the punch, he always dips and leans forward. And he was kind of, like, doing that a lot in this fight. And as he was dipping, Opetaia was just shooting the left hand. Right when he dipped down, he was just shooting the left hand right out there. So it's almost like a tell he has before he throws his punches. He does that little dip and leans forward. He always likes to kind of put that head and shoulder down and kind of lean forward a little bit. And, you know, he's leaning into uppercuts. But he was just a step behind all night. And Opetaia was beating him from the outside. And then when Breedis tried to rough him up on the inside, he was getting countered with uppercuts and short hooks on the inside. This guy, Opetaia, really fought a beautiful fight. I have this fight like 8-4. You can even have it maybe 9-3. And the rounds that Breedis won, he just nicked them. You know what I mean? Well, he didn't win rounds decisively. Opetaia was winning rounds decisively. I mean, he was just doing beautiful counter punching. He was sticking and moving. He was just getting off first all night. And Breedis just, he would land a good shot here or there, but he could not get any momentum going. You know, every time he would land a big shot, Opetaia would come back and just steal the play right from him. So this was a very entertaining fight, but it's a huge upset. Huge upset.
Definitely.
I want to know where all the Monday morning quarterback, oh, I told you this was going to be a close fight. Yeah, okay.
Team Batman said H Money said he was going to win the fight, said Opetaia was going to win the fight.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. All right. I'm playing shortstop for the Reds, too. All right, let's go to the phones here. Robert, 530, you're live.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Anytime today.
Hope you're having a good holiday weekend.
Wake. What's up with the delayed reaction here? Right. Wake the fuck up when you call in.
Come on.
Anyway.
Jeez, you got to snap it up here.
I suppose you had off a tie too, right? Fucking Monday morning quarterback.
No, I can't say I had that. Joe Joyce, he did what he was supposed to do yesterday and did it rather convincingly. And Frank Warren said after the fight he'll be fighting again in September. I wonder who they're going to put him in against.
I don't know. Hopefully somebody good.
Yeah.
Because, again, man, I mean, I want to see this guy fight somebody here. I need to see him fight an upper echelon guy now.
Yeah.
It's time.
That would be nice. But Tete looked the best of everybody yesterday. He looked really good. Because I didn't know how much he had left because it had been a while since he'd been in the ring, but he looked really good yesterday. So.
I thought so, too. I've always liked Tete.
As far as this weekend coming up, though, guys, why is Pulev and Derek Chisora fighting for a second time? What's the purpose behind this?
No idea. Payday?
Called money.
because Derek Chisora, I mean, he gives
something
a great effort.
Something that we
effort.
Need? You want to buy things?
He gives a great effort every time he's out, but, you know, they've already fought once. I don't understand why they're doing it again.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. Neither. I mean, I have no desire to watch that fight. I don't see. Derek Chisora is not what he was, and Kubrat Pulev is not what he was. You know.
No.
So.
But I am looking
what's
forward
the point
to
of
this.
This?
I am looking forward this weekend to see Mark Messiah to see how he does with his first title defense. I think that'll be a good fight.
Yeah, I think
so,
too. I think he wins that fight, though.
Yep.
You know, this can't really be upset in the air. You know why, Eric? Because Breedis was like a minus 193, and Apataya was a plus 160. So
I told you I picked it. I picked him.
It was barely a 2-1. He was barely a 2-1 favorite, Breeders. So I guess, I mean, I'm not the end all be all when it comes to cruiserweights. I don't know why these guys are cruiserweights.
Remember when Robert used to just dump all over the cruiserweights and he said the whole division should be abolished?
That was you that did that, Eric. That was you. That wasn't me.
Pretty sure that wasn't me.
No.
Hey guys, if you're out there and you're listening to us and you're watching us live, hit the like button. And then, and just for future reference, if you're not watching us live but you're watching the tape, just hit the like button. Come on, guys. Why do I have to do this every single time? Why do I got to come out of here and remind you to hit the like button? You know what I mean? I don't have a tin cup and glasses on and begging you for quarters. I just say, hey, do something for me. Do something that helps me. You know what I'm saying? And you don't. I got to come back here and I got to ask you over and over again.
Why are you begging,
the
man?
Like button.
You're like a panhandler every
right.
week.
I don't even ask
like...
for money. I don't even ask for it.
You know what I mean?
Just all you got to do is hit the like button. That's it. How difficult is that?
Hit the motherfucking like button. That's what I said. So there you go.
Boom.
And Eric, are you being facetious when you say you're looking forward to Ryan Garcia and Javier Fortuna? That's not even going to be a contest.
Come on, Robbie.
You don't
this
think that's
why,
going to be a good
fight? This is why.
No, this is not.
He wonders why he gets made fun of every week.
Give me a break.
Eric, the whole world knows Eric. The whole world knew Eric was kidding around, but you had to ask Eric, were you kidding around?
Come on. Let's be real here. And speaking of somebody fighting somebody.
I'd love to see you
in
a comedy club. You'd probably sit there all day. You'd probably sit there all night like this.
Your comedy's not pure, fellas. That didn't happen.
Hey, Joe, when I was younger, I used to go to a lot of comedy clubs. There was a lot of good people back in the day.
There you go.
What happened to your sense of humor then?
So.
All right.
Anyway. Asking Eric if he was serious.
Remy, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it, brother. He said, it's been a while since I've seen cruiserweights fighting like lightweights. It was entertaining, my friends. Thank you so much, and thank you so much, Remy, man. We appreciate it.
But, speaking of somebody that needs to fight somebody, how about Ryan Garcia? I mean, come on, really? The best you can do
He's fighting
is,
Javier Fortuna.
Javier Fortuna.
What are you talking about?
Javier Fortuna has seen his better days.
I'll tell you what. If Javier Fortuna was in front of me with boxing gloves, I guarantee he runs over me.
Of course
runs
he
over
does.
The Beeb, and he runs over any one of the three of us.
Of course
what do you think
he's
going to do when he's in front of Ryan Garcia?
He's going to give his best effort, but he's eventually going to be put to sleep.
There you go. Wow. That is completely disrespectful. Completely.
Okay, Eric.
I don't know what it is. You just love to disrespect these fighters, man.
Oh, it's awful. It is awful.
Hey,
who does Joe Joyce fight next, Robert?
I would like to see him fight Andy Ruiz.
That would be a good fight.
Yep.
I would say Deontay Wilder. I would love to see him fight Deontay Wilder if Wilder comes back.
That would be a great fight, Eric.
Yeah, that's a fun fight for me.
I want to see Wilder come back. But I want to make sure that he's actually going to come back. At least Ruiz, granted, he's fighting 90-year-old Luis Ortiz, but at least Andy Ruiz is fighting.
Oh, that's horrible.
Don't start with the age discrimination.
Wow. Jesus.
Well,
that guy's got a family.
Hey.
How old are you?
Right. Yeah. What about that?
I will be 58,
huh?
And I'm proud of it.
Spring chicken.
Yeah. I mean, geez.
Wait then. You're getting a freaking...
Oh.
He is discounted at Publix. I mean,
we're really getting a discount. That fight is on pay-per-view. What kind of discount is that?
Oh, that's how bad is that?
Yeah,
I mean,
horrible.
Really,
You buying it? You buying it, Robbie?
Dude, come on, Robbie, you better not buy this fight. You better not buy this fight.
I don't know if I am or not.
Come on, Robert.
It depends
on
what it is.
Stop.
He's thinking about it.
Oh, come on, man.
I can guarantee you.
Thinking like the rest of us.
I can guarantee you one fight. I am going to buy, though. I can guarantee you one fight.
You
going to
keep us in suspense or what? What is it?
Canelo and Triple G, of course.
Oh God, that's it. Oh.
Oh yeah, because you're rooting for Triple G to get hurt seriously in that fight.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Canelo's
sick
in his prime.
You?
Canelo's in his prime. Triple G is on a banana peel.
He's coming off a loss.
He got beat by a superior boxer.
A lopsided loss.
He got beat by a superior boxer. Triple G can't box.
He can't box.
What planet are you on?
Wasn't Triple G in the Olympics?
He can't box.
And he's 40 years old, guys.
In the Olympics?
I thought he was.
He's 40 years old.
Bernard Hopkins was winning titles at 50.
Triple G is no B-hop.
Listen, cold-blooded man. Ever since Triple G lost to Canelo that second fight, you have really turned on him.
I'll tell you what. You know what turned on him? When he went to the zone. That's what he turned on him. When he went to the zone and he couldn't watch him anymore.
That's when he turned on him.
I remember that.
Hey, the zone is better than ESPN Plus.
I don't know, we didn't ask you though. Yeah, I don't know about that.
We didn't ask you that.
ESPN Plus is hard to find fights on.
Oh, it's horrible.
I just, you know, a lot of times I'll just go to YouTube and watch them because ESPN Plus, like,
that's what I did.
It's a lot, man. I tell you what.
And then when you watch them on ESPN Plus, they fucking buffer like with the playbacks are horrible.
Oh, what's wrong?
It's terrible, man.
I love DAZN because you can play back fights. It's very easy to play them back. Very easy.
Yeah, DAZN does have a better format and everything like that.
Yep.
I like DAZN.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. All right, Robert.
Anyway,
we're
guys,
run in here.
Happy 4th to everybody, and I'll see you next week.
Happy 4th of July, Robbie.
All right, happy 4th, buddy. All right, let's go to 516 New York, I believe, New York. 516, you're live.
What's up, guys? Jesse Reekin, what's going on?
Jesse Reekin, what's the haps?
What's going on? Happy 4th of July weekend, Beav. Happy 4th of July weekend, Eric.
What do you want to call it?
There's a good fight coming up this weekend that I don't think a lot of people are giving credit for. The Mark Magasso versus Ray Vargas fight. You know, both undefeated fighters. He just beat Gary Russell. I think that's going to be a good fight on Showtime. Who do you guys got winning that?
Max Ayo
should win that fight, yeah.
Should win it fairly easy.
You think Ray Vargas' record is misleading?
I don't know if it's necessarily misleading, but, I mean, Max Ayo, is a really good fighter, man. He just beat the guy who's been reigning for, like, years out there. And he beat him decisively. I thought he beat Russell decisively. I really did.
Yeah, I had it 9-3.
Yeah, I'm happy.
And Gary Russell looked like he had no desire to run that back.
Well, even if he did, it would be another 2 years before he gets in the ring again, you know, where he was giving us, once-a-year fights, you know. It's always good when somebody like that – it's better for the sport when they lose, you know, because they just hog up the time, I think.
Yeah.
What's up with Tommy Fury, man, running away from Jake Paul? It looks like he's really scared of him.
weird. We're going to talk about that later, but yeah, that's pretty strange, man. You know, it looks like he can solve this in just a couple of hours, and he has no desire to. So I don't know who Jake Paul is going to fight next.
Well,
I don't understand why he just doesn't get his papers.
I don't know.
Well, I think it's the name. Well, it's like because of the mafia connection or whatnot or whatever he got in trouble for.
I know, but Beeb's saying otherwise.
It's he has to get his papers in order so he can travel.
I don't know. That's so bizarre, though.
According to Frank Warren.
But another part of it might be that he's really scared to let down the Fury name. You know, his brother's considered the best heavyweight out by many. You know,
it's the best heavyweight of all time. You know.
Yeah, by me and you.
I think you got something there, Jesse. I really do. I think that's a great point. I think that he is scared to let that name because he's not a full-fledged boxer. This isn't his life. I mean, he's on reality shows. He's trying to be an actor. You know, he looks like a model. You know, I mean, you know, he's not trying to be Tyson Fury.
He's
right.
Maybe he sees a lot of pressure from his dad coming on too, you know, and they say like if you lose, you're out of the family kind of talk, because I saw his dad interview the first time and he's like, he's not going to lose. He's like, if he loses, he has to change his last name or something like that, like being sarcastic,
yeah.
But
a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure he's putting on.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, believe it or not, I mean, they take that seriously, you know? It's like, you know, if you're a fighter and your dad says that, I mean, of course he's going to take it seriously, you know?
Yeah, I think he might be a little scared, which, I mean, it kind of messes up the Garden event for Jake Paul because, you know, who are you going to get as a last-minute replacement? Oh, yo, Beeb, that's going to be little Jesse's first fight, man. I'm taking him to that fight to go see Serrano and Jake Paul at the Garden.
Oh, that's awesome, brother.
Very good.
Yeah. It should be fun, man. I wanted to go see that one, you know. So I'm hoping it's a good enough fight, but people can't really blame Jake Paul if Frank Mir steps in there, you know, or whatever, because, you know, this falls on Tommy
Frank
Mir.
That's a good,
you know?
Yeah. Frank Mir is not a bad boxer. Anderson Silva though can't make it. I think that was the other thing. He was going to go in there, but Anderson Silva apparently can't make the fight. He's fighting on Floyd's undercard.
I'm just saying Frank Mir because I know he has he's boxed before.
That's not a bad fight.
I
that's not a bad fight.
Yeah.
He got starched last time, didn't he?
Yeah. I forgot who beat him. Somebody beat him, though. And then Anderson Silva beat Chavez Jr., right? So you would think it would be something like, even KSI might not even be that bad. You know, KSI's been in there with his older brother, and he did a fairly good job. You know, that maybe, but I don't think that sells the tickets like that, right? You know, but yeah, man, it should be a fun time regardless, though, man, and. You know, I don't know if you guys know, like, Mia St. John got that book out, man. I'm about to purchase one, you know. So I'm just saying, it might be a good read, you know. It deals
that
tells her
Playboy
story
she was
of,
in?
Addiction.
Hmm? Oh, yeah. Yeah, she's been through, I tell you what, man. Yeah, she's been through a lot, man. She really has. I think her son and her husband or something, with addiction problems and everything, and I think she's had them, and yeah, she's been through quite a bit, man.
Yeah. She has a tough life. She's a sweetheart too. If anybody like talks to her on Twitter, she answers back and stuff.
And then you're like so classless too. You're like so bringing up Playboy and everything like that. Like seriously, man. Like she's got a book coming out talking about, you know, her demons and everything. And you're over there talking about her Playboy. But man, what's wrong with you?
All I care about is Playboy, man.
That's cold blooded, man.
But,
X videos, Playboy.
But I'm sure she would even like talk, laugh about the Playboy comment. You know, she's like a cool person. Whatchamacallit. But yeah, guys, all right, man. Happy 4th, man. And you know, I guess that's the only fight we have to look forward to next week, right? Is that fight?
Yeah, pretty much. All right, Jesse, we're going to get running, man. Thank you so much for your call. We appreciate it. Let's see here. Remy, thank you so much. He said Triple G just became a unified champion of 40. He's a beast. I agree. D-Style, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Now, Thursday on the roundtable, Beeb, we got the roundtable on Thursday.
Yeah, how much did you get? How much did he pay you to come on Thursday?
Well, let's just say it was about 4 or 5 figures, okay? Anyway, I'll be on there Thursday with Beeb. Beeb will be on there. Maestro, I'm sure, will be on there. Who else?
There'll be some people on there. You'll be surprised.
There'll be some people on there.
You'll be surprised.
There'll be some people on there. Of course, there'll be some people. But, guys, make sure to check it out on Thursday. And check out all of D-Style's content, all of Maestro's content, all of them, man, because and you can find them. We got links to them on our page, right, on the YouTube page?
Yes, we do.
Make sure
to
subscribe to all of those guys. They all put out great content. We all put out content together and stuff like that. We share the content, and it's
HCP for life, baby. HCP for life.
There it is.
Back those locals forever.
Oh boy, I tell you what. Let's see here. YouTube sideshows. Logan Paul, Jake Paul is not a YouTube sideshow, man. Jake Paul is a legit guy.
He's a legit guy, man. He's a legit guy.
Legit as it comes, boy. Tell you that right now.
I mean, if he fights Tommy Fury, he's going to knock him out. And I would never say that to TF's face, man, but
Tommy Fury's
Jake
face?
Paul, the big guy. I'd never say it to the big guy's face. But I think
John Fury?
Tommy's going to get knocked out.
I don't think so, man. I really don't. I think, like I said, man, I favor Tommy to win this fight. I think he's got more experience, more everything. And I love Jake Paul. He's from Titletown, but I gotta call it like I see it. I mean, I'll be definitely rooting for Jake Paul. Don't get me wrong. And the garden is nice too. Must be worth a trip up there. That'd be nice. Awesome stuff, man. All right, next week, let's talk about the upcoming fight, San Antonio, Texas, on Showtime, the big one. Mark Mexia versus Ray Vargas, 12 rounds for Mexia's WBC featherweight title. I tell you what, man, that's a good fight, Beeb. That's a good fight. I do see Mexia winning that fight. I think he wins it handily, but I think it's a good fight. I really do.
It'll be a good fight, but, you know, because Vargas is going to come to fight, he's going to be aggressive, but Mexia's a good fighter, man. He's a good fighter. He's a good ambush guy, in and out, moves well. Good volume.
That's where that's from. Vatos Locos from that movie Blood In, Blood Out.
Remember that?
Yeah. You know what? That was such a – listen, I didn't really care for the movie, number one. I didn't care for the movie. There's no way the white guy would have been made into the gang member.
He had Mexican blood in
him. No, he didn't.
Yes,
no,
he
didn't.
He was half Mexican.
No, he wasn't. No, he
like
wasn't.
Like Canelo. He looked like Canelo.
Nah.
See, Canelo's white.
Nah. It doesn't pass, son. It doesn't pass the eye test either.
Forever Holmes. Vatos Locos forever Holmes.
No, S.A., I'm afraid not. On the zone.
Familia Holmes. Familia Holmes.
Cállate, pendejo. July 9th. Saturday, London, on the zone. Derek Chisora versus Kubrat Pulev, 12 rounds heavyweights. Fabio Wardley on the card versus Vedi TBA. Everything is TBA on this thing. Israel Madrimov versus Michelle Soro. I don't know. The card sucks. What can I say? It sucks. The fact that I can find the fights easier on the zone is great, but I wish they would put better quality fights on the zone. Let's put it that way. Because this doesn't cut it. And we're paying for this. We're paying a monthly stipend for this nonsense. Derek Chisora versus Kubrat Pulev. Anybody out in the UK is looking forward to this fight? Is anybody really looking forward to this fight? I'm not looking forward to this fight. Because both these guys, both of them, are well past the expiration date here, guys. Somebody asked, will Jenny Sushi be there? Probably with her lawyer present. Yeah, what about that? Whatever happened with that whole Jenny Sushi thing?
I have no idea.
Whatever happened with that? Like, he kissed her or something like that, and then she was out there partying with him later on that night, and then she files a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Me Too in action. Me Too in action.
What happened is they got a hold of that video.
Yeah, Me Too, son.
Case was dismissed.
They got, I wonder. Yeah, I mean, she was over there partying with him and stuff like that.
See, Johnny Depp gave us our manhood back, man. We don't have to deal with this crap anymore. We got our manhood back.
Johnny Depp, baby.
All these whistleblowers, they better watch out.
I just got a rather ugly text from my wife. so,
Johnny Depp freed us, man.
Apparently she's listening. Apparently she's listening.
Johnny Depp freed us, man.
I would love to say something further, but I like sleeping indoors. So, yeah, I didn't think she was listening. So, there you go. All right. Let's talk about the news and rumors, because there's Jack on the fight horizon. Even next week, there's hardly anything. Well, there was that Ryan Garcia. The week after that is the Ryan Garcia fight, which, of course, I'm looking forward to. That's going to be the fight of the year right there. There you go. All right. News and rumors here. Mikey Garcia, Beeb, calls it a career, says, I'm done. Beeb, do you blame him? I don't think his heart was in it. I don't think his heart's been in it for a while.
Yeah, he was. He made his money.
That Errol Spence fight, I think after that, it was done.
Four division champion, what else is there to do? Was he going to win a fifth one? Probably not. Could he have won another one at 140? Possible. I don't know. But at the end of the day, he gets my vote for the Hall of Fame. A lot of people disagree, but I vote him in.
I vote him in.
Did you vote him in?
Did he have a better career than Arturo Gatti? That's the criteria.
Yeah.
That's the criteria. Am I wrong?
Well, the argument
is. Why is Vinny Paz not in?
Yeah, Vinny Paz.
He definitely had a better career than Arturo Gatti.
He was pissed, too. He's like,
he should be.
Five-time world champion, I don't get in.
It doesn't make sense.
I would vote Vinny in.
I got a picture of Vinny on my wall. It's actually a picture
of
Miles Teller playing Vinny, but I mean, you get it.
Yeah, I like Vinny.
I do, too. I tell you what, if I had, like, you know, I would love to hang out with Vinny Paz for one night. You know what I mean? Because you know that would just be insane. Like,
yeah,
what kind of partier that guy is and everything like that.
He'd probably get locked up, though.
I'd be fine with that because it's only one night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on if I get locked up for two nights, but I mean, still.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy, right?
You interviewed him before. That was a good interview.
Oh, Vinny Paz. He called me, right? He called me on like a Friday night. It was like, I'll never forget. It was like 9 o'clock on a Friday. And we talked for like an hour and a half. And I said, you know, hey, can you come on tomorrow? Can I interview you tomorrow? Because, well, I'm on the phone. You're like, I'm not interviewing. You know what I mean? We were just like talking. And he came on the next day. He gave me like an hour of his time. He's great. And he's the best storyteller, the best guy, man.
He's a really good guy.
That guy is not on the Hall of Fame. Come on, man.
So the argument people will give you for Gotti is he had memorable fights.
I don't care. That's not the criteria.
Well, that's the thing. Like everyone
people had memorable fights shouldn't be in there. You know what I mean? Mickey Ward. If you're gonna put Arturo Gatti in, why not Mickey Ward?
That's true.
He had memorable fights all over the place.
That's right. That's right.
Kevin Kelly had memorable fights.
I don't think Kevin Kelly's in either.
You know? That's a thing, man. No, I don't think – no, Kevin Kelly's definitely not in.
Yeah, I put him in.
Nass had memorable fights. He's not in, is he?
I'm not sure if he's in.
I don't know if he's in or not. But, again, he had memorable fights. But if your criteria is just going to be we had memorable fights, I completely disagree with that.
Man in Water makes a good point.
That's a great point.
You can put specific fights, like you can have categories for memorable fights.
That's the way to go. Man in Water, that is a perfect idea.
Very good idea, sir.
That's a great idea. I've seen that Naz is in the Hall of Fame. But Man in Water, is a great idea.
Well, I wasn't sure.
I wasn't sure either.
I'm glad that he's
awesome idea. We should bring that up, man. You should bring that up to the council or whatever. That's a great idea.
Yeah,
I mean, all the great fights we've had over the years, I mean, that deserves to be recognized. You know, and I don't know that it is recognized at the Hall of Fame.
Olive said that Gotti would have beaten Sandor Martin.
Who cares? I mean, who cares? You know,
would Gotti have beaten Mikey Garcia at 140 in his prime?
No. No.
I would be.
Did you see what Floyd did to Gotti? Did you see that? That was
No disrespect to Gotti. I think I'd pick Garcia over Gotti at 140. I'm just being honest.
Mikey Garcia over Gotti? Yeah, absolutely.
I'd do it. I'd pull the trigger.
So wait, Floyd took care of a man? That was a massacre, son. That fight wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only reason Arturo Gatti is in the Hall of Fame is because he passed away early, because he was murdered. Or according to his wife, he took his own life. I don't know how he, you know, stabbed himself or whatever. But whatever the case may be, that's the only reason he got in. Let's call it like it is.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I'm a fan of Arturo. I like Arturo Gatti, but he's not good enough to be in the Hall of Fame. When you're making these arguments like Floyd Mayweather and, you know, guys like, you know, Thomas Hearns and Sugar Ray Leonard. No, he's not on that level. He's never been on that level. And so when you tell me he gets in the Hall of Fame, I'm going to ask you, why is Paz not in the Hall of Fame? Could you put Mikey Garcia in there? Yeah, you know, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'd put Garcia in.
So there you go, man. All right. Tommy Fury, as we mentioned before, was denied entrance to the U.S. Fight with Jake Paul may be in jeopardy here. The Mirror reports that Frank Warren believes that Fury's issue can be resolved with a visit to the U.S. Embassy, but Tommy Fury appears to be dragging his heels and remains publicly silent. B, what's going on here?
I hate to say this, but I have to question whether or not he wants to fight. Jake Paul this is like the third go-round, not right? So I don't know what to say. Well,
the first time he was injured, and listen, man, I think you got to take him at his word. If he says he was injured, I believe he's injured. I don't need to leave it. You tell me you're injured, like, because typically fighters are not afraid of each other. You tell me you got an injury. I don't need to see the x-rays. I don't need to see anything. You got an injury? You got an injury. What do we, you know, what am I going to delve into your personal business? It is what it is, you know?
Yeah. Well, then I guess he was concerned about the drug testing for the fight, so.
Oh, Fury was?
He was concerned about the drug testing for the fight. He was accusing Jake Paul of being on steroids.
Who cares if he's on steroids?
All this stuff's coming out. It just seems like he's really apprehensive about getting in there with him, and I don't know. I don't know where he's going to make that money anywhere else.
He's lost.
And like you said, I think that's what it comes down to. You see that movie, The Great Santini?
Yeah.
When the son was in that basketball game and he gets fouled, and then the father goes, "You put him on the deck or you don't come home." That's essentially what Big John is saying.
That's what he's saying, right?
To Tommy. You don't beat this guy, don't come home.
Right, that's what he's saying.
He's skinny, he doesn't want to deal with that if he loses.
You put him on the deck or you don't come home. So.
Put him on the deck or you don't come home. And then he gets the ball, he passes it to the kid, and the kid's driving to the hoop, boom, takes him down.
Oh, my God.
The feed move back in the day.
The feed move. Yeah, I think Tommy Fury, if – you know, like I said, man, what was he on that show, Love Island or whatever, and then the UK?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, man, it's one of those things. I think he's more interested in that life than he is this life. And there's nothing – listen to me. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
But you got to pick one or the other, because this ain't something you can really do part-time.
Listen, you know, I'm a heterosexual man, but I can admit
– congratulations.
Tommy Fury – probably one of the most handsome guys I've ever seen in my life. That guy's he looks like a Greek god. He's a model.
Okay. Sorry. Sal Alvarez, thank you so much. He said, Gatti was way overhyped. You guys listen to Barrera Morales podcast. I've been following you, Beebs, since your other podcast. There you go, man. All right. Coming down for the Beebs. Love it. Love it. What's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? Not on.
He's a handsome son of a bitch, that kid.
What, do you want to hold hands in the moonlight with him or something like that? You keep saying it. All right. We get it. He's handsome. Okay, great. I'm just saying, like, you know, I mean, why don't you slow down there?
Don't hate the player. I hate the game, man.
Why don't you wipe your forehead off? He's over there sweating over Tommy Fury, you know?
I'm sorry, Lois. I mean, I'm going to give the guys credit.
Dude, listen, I'm going to tell you this. I respect you because it takes a lot of courage to come out here on the air. I respect it.
Oh, shit.
Josh Taylor vacates his WBC title. Jose Ramirez and Jose Zepeda will now fight for the WBC title. He said he vacated rather than fight Zepeda again, or fight Zepeda. I don't blame him. There's no money in that fight for him. And that's the thing. That's why the unifications don't last, because they want you to fight, you know, guys that probably shouldn't be there, you know.
So what's he going to do? Like, he's not going to fight Jack Catterall. He hasn't officially moved up to 147.
He lost Jack Catterall. That's why he doesn't want to fight him again.
Yeah, I had Catterall eking it out. But,
a lot of people
did,
yeah.
Yeah, so he's not going to fight Catterall. He's not going to fight Zepeda. Lopez called him out. He doesn't want that fight. That's fine. So, I mean, what's the move here? Is he hasn't, like I said, officially announced he's going up to 147. So what's he going to do?
I don't know. He's going to go up to 147. He's going to go up to 147.
So now
Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford are going to fight. He's going to go up to 147. This is my, you know.
Okay.
I think he goes up to 147 because that title will be fractured in a matter of days after they fight. It'll be all over the place, and he'll get his shot right there. So there you go. James Burrell, that's a very cool question. He said, Beebs, how many drinks would it take? I'm assuming between you and Tommy Fury, how many drinks would it take for you to?
I'm
not
all free, baby. I don't drink.
Wow, so you just wouldn't even take any alcohol for you. You're just like all in. Wow, there you go, guys. Hey, you said it, not me. Why are you looking at me? What?
Defamation.
Defamation.
Lois, get the paperwork ready, please.
I'm always in trouble with HR. I don't even do anything, and I'm in trouble with HR. Somebody explain that to me.
This is strike three, man. You may get suspended. They have to bring Robbie on for a couple of weeks to fill in. I don't know.
Yeah, right? Let me know how that goes. Speaking of defamation, Ryan Garcia and Canelo, these two are going at each other. I think Garcia gave an interview. I think it was the Secback or something like that. So after answering questions like what's your favorite cereal and what's your favorite color, he went on to ask him about Canelo and everything. And then Ryan Garcia stated that, he doesn't have the opportunity to pick a Matthew Hatton to become a world champion. He's got guys like Lomachenko in his division and, you know, all these guys. So it's like, dude, I mean, wow, that's rough, man. That's, jeez. Canelo shot back, called Ryan Garcia ungrateful. He said he's like a little kid, and he still owes Eddie Reynoso money, I guess, from training him last time. This is a good man. Ryan Garcia has got a bad reputation, you know, he's always fighting with somebody. If it's not Tank Davis, it's Canelo. If it's not Canelo, it's De La Hoya. Now, I get it that everybody's got, you know, qualms with De La Hoya, but, like, dude. You know, I mean, maybe you ought to stay on social media for a while.
Well, it just looks bad that, all right, now that you're not with the camp, now you're going to shit all over him. It's a bad quality,
yeah,
bro.
You should have just said, hey, man, I wish him the best and, you know, this and that. And even if they're trashing you, hey, listen, man, they can say what they want to say. I wish them the best, man. But I had to go my route. They got to go their route. And, this is just the best move. I feel like this is the best move for me.
Bad look.
It's a bad look. It absolutely is.
So basically, by saying what you're saying, like the reason why you're not a world champion is because the guys who have the belts are too good right now, and you're waiting for a Matthew Hatton like he did.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I've criticized Canelo, but at the end of the day, he's done a lot of good things too. So.
Well, Juan Manuel Marquez came out this week and said that he picked his Mount Rushmore of boxing or whatever. Canelo wasn't on that list. And he says, no, Canelo, he said he weakens opponents. He said he tries to weaken opponents. He doesn't take them at full strength. He tries to weaken them, whether that's the weight, you know, the Canelo weight or whatever. He tries to, you know, he tries to make that catch weight. He doesn't like that, you know.
Well,
yeah, he's got a point.
I'm going to say this. I did a video a couple days ago, a week ago, and I said, you know, Canelo Alvarez versus Gennady Golovkin, the battle of the asterisks. Because that's basically what it is.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Triple G, he had that, you know, he broke Brian Hopkins' record. Yeah, did he really? I mean, he had the regular title. He had the regular title. He did, like, Bernard Hopkins had the real title. You know
he had
I mean?
The regular title. Nobody was fighting. Nobody was in line to fight Triple G, put it that way. None of those champions were going to give him any shot.
There was a time when he was kind of avoided. But, again, I don't count the regular title. That's just my opinion.
It's tough to count that regular title. I'll be honest with you. It's tough to count that regular title.
And they're doing that. And then I thought he lost to Devrenchenko. I thought he lost to Danny Jacobs.
I thought he lost to Jacobs. I thought he lost to Derevchenko as well.
Yeah. Well, that's two asterisks right there.
Yeah.
What else? Then when they made that claim, well, we can beat anyone from 160 to 175 or whatever, and then the Ward fight was talked about. He never fought Ward.
I don't blame him. I had Ward as my pound-for-pound best even when Floyd was around.
You did? Yeah. I remember that.
So, yeah. Andre, not, you know, listen, losing to Andre Ward, there's no shame in that.
Andre Ward is a tremendous fighter.
Could be one of the best fighters. He's one of the best fighters ever. Could be the best, period. Andre Ward, Roy Jones. You could argue, and again, I stress the word argue.
You could argue that Andre Ward is possibly the best 168-pounder of all time.
Oh, 100%.
You could argue that.
Like I said,
some people want to say Roy Jones, but I don't know. I think
it's tough.
I think when Andre Ward fight.
Who wins that?
What Andre Ward did in that tournament was incredible.
And you know what? And he did that in that tournament where they had that soccer format where they had bracket and each guy had to fight each guy once and then they advanced by the record. It was stupid because it took years, but he didn't lose. He fought everybody. He went through everybody on their turf. You know what I mean? He went through everybody.
He cleaned out that division.
Cleaned
and people say, oh, well, he didn't fight Boutte. Well, Boutte didn't
matter.
He didn't go in that tournament. And then after Froch loses to Ward, I had that fight like 117 to 111 on my card. Right? I thought he lost handily.
Yeah.
And then after he loses to Ward, Froch goes and knocks out Boutte. So.
Yeah, and I mean, he handled Froch easy. He handled Froch easy, man.
You know, between Ward and Calzaghe, that's a tough one for me, but I think I'd still edge Ward on that one.
Did we talk about Calzaghe? I heard his dad passed away, Enzo.
A little while ago, yeah.
Yeah.
A while ago.
You know,
yeah.
The crazy part about that, you bring up Calzaghe, he never boxed.
His dad never did.
His dad never boxed.
Sean makes a good point.
Yeah, Sean makes a good point.
Ward did not fight outside the U.S. when everyone else did. That's
yeah.
Make that argument. I can't disagree with that.
I'll be honest, though. I don't think it matters. I think he beats any one of those guys. It just is. Ward ducked Adonis Stevenson at 175. I don't know.
I mean, When Ward beat Kovalev, Kovalev was that guy at the time. That's before these other guys really started making a name. Like Bivol and Beterbiev were just kind of getting started at that time. So.
I agree. Let's see here. AJ, Anthony Joshua, claims that he thought he was winning the Usyk fight. Now, they have the press conference this week. This is interesting because he kind of blamed his corner for losing that fight because he said that he didn't feel the urgency, that he was behind on the cards and then blamed the corner. Now, you know, listen, man, I mean, I understand it's hard to know if you're up or down because you're in there fighting, but you had to know something wasn't going your way. you know, listen, Beebe, and you know this as well as I do, you know when you're in there, you know when things aren't going quite right. You know when things aren't going according to plan.
Like, it's one thing if a fight is close.
Yes.
And then you're in there, and then you're in there, and, you, and the fight's close. It's hard for you to kind of determine if you want a round here and there or not, whatever. But you know when you're being handled. The body language, you could see it in guys' faces.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not – AJ doesn't have a good poker face.
No.
When he's frustrated or he's discouraged or he's behind in a fight, you see it in his body language and in his face. People may say that doesn't mean anything, blah, blah, blah. It's fine. But, you know, after the fight, right, he turns around, puts his arms on the ropes, and basically has this big sigh, like, ah.
Yeah.
I just went through hell.
Was he knocked down on the 12th? I can't remember if he was knocked.
No, he was badly hurt. Yeah, he
was up against
the ropes.
Yeah, he was, he was about to get knocked out on the 12th.
Sean says it was close through eight.
I had a 117-111. I had Usyk winning that
I'm
fight.
I'm going to be honest with you, Sean. I think I gave Joshua 5, 6, and 8. Those are the only rounds I gave him.
Well, it sounds like Sean may have had it like eight rounds before then.
He may have. I mean, you could have given Joshua 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah.
So he did go on that little run. So after 8, yeah, it could have been 4-4. I don't disagree with that, but I had it. I think I had it 5-3 after 8.
Usyk, yeah.
But you could have had it 4-4. That's fine. So an argument could be made that yeah, it was close, and then maybe Usyk won the last 4 rounds. But I mean, when you win 8 out of 4 rounds, it's pretty decisive victory, I would think, right?
8 rounds to 4. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I believe so. I mean, it's. You can't.
That means you won like you won three quarters of the fight. You won 75% of the fight.
Right. That's a yeah.
Right.
You know, I tell you, like I said, man, it was you know, it's one of those things, man. It's I know it's subjective, but you know, for Anthony Joshua to come out and say and kind of blame his corner now that he's got a new corner.
Well, and then I heard another thing he said was. This is the first time that I have a game plan going into a training camp. There's actually
right,
a game
like
plan
like
camp.
They never trained you. You got to where you are with that other corner.
I mean,
you know what I mean? Why trash? I know what you're doing, but I don't like what you're doing. Put it that way.
McCracken was your coach as an amateur. You won a gold medal with McCracken. You won world titles with McCracken.
He should have switched up. He should have switched up pro coach and had a pro coach. Because I don't like your amateur coach coaching, you know what I mean, and taking you. I don't like the same coach over and over because it's a different game.
I'll be honest with you. McCracken does seem like he goes along, like he was going along for the ride. Like there's been instances when things aren't going good in a fight, and McCracken doesn't really do anything. Like he doesn't instill a sense of urgency within Joshua, and I don't like that about McCracken. But again, if I'm Joshua and I'm saying all these things now, it's just a bad look, because you had a lot of good you had a good run with this guy, and all of a sudden like he's you're low key shitting on him really if you want to think about it.
Yeah, it is, and it's not like I said, it's not a good look. I mean, again, you know, just hey, listen, he beat me last time, but this time we got a different game plan coming in, and. We're going to be competitive. We're going to win this fight, you know, whatever. But do you think AJ wins this fight coming in?
You know, the thing that's making me think a little bit here is I'm saying to myself, he fought the wrong fight. Well, he hasn't been really that aggressive guy in a while since that Klitschko fight. And then he's tried to be a little bit aggressive against Ruiz, and he got hit, got tagged. Maybe there was something going on before the fight, whatever. Maybe there was issues. I don't know. But then he rematched Ruiz. He looked a little bit.
He dominated Ruiz in that second fight.
Dominated Ruiz in the second fight, but he just looked a little bit safety first in that fight. He looked first. He looked safety first in the Pulev fight for a while until he, you know, stepped on the gas. It reminds me of Klitschko. After Klitschko got knocked out a few times. He started becoming a lot more measured in there, paced himself. His output went down. He started holding a lot. Wasn't as aggressive as he was before the knockout. So what I'm saying is, all like Joshua's been this guy for a while now. Well, not just against Usyk. And then he did try to step on the gas, like I said, in rounds 5, 6, 7, and 8. But then Usyk adjusted to it and almost knocked him out in the last round.
Yeah.
So in rounds 9, 10, 11, and 12, Usyk really, those were Usyk's best rounds of the fight. So after you started becoming aggressive, Usyk made an adjustment and actually did better when you were aggressive. So you did, you laid back a little bit in the beginning of the fight, then you stepped on the gas from rounds 5 through 8, and then after that, Usyk, you know, adapted to that, right? Started maneuvering a little bit, you know, maneuvering around you, started switching things up a little bit, started throwing the right hook, dropping the left hand of the body, started moving to his left. He was pivoting out to his right, giving you different looks here and there. And he started hurting you more after you became more aggressive. So I'm sitting there saying, I think you're damned amount of, damned if you do, damned if you don't in this fight. Because Usyk's going to have an answer for you.
Well, he said,
no matter what you do.
Yeah, he said he wants to be more aggressive in this fight and go for the knockout. That's always a bad plan. I mean,
Then you run the risk of getting knocked out yourself. Because make no mistake about it, Usyk hurt him several times. Usyk wobbled him a couple times in this fight.
That's what surprised me. That's what really surprised
me.
Yeah, that surprised me. I didn't know that Usyk had that kind of power bringing it up to heavyweight. But Usyk can punch, man. Usyk knows how to fight. I mean, you know, this fight is interesting for a variety of reasons in the sense that, listen, we got Usyk who just came back from war here, you know, and probably is going to go back at some point, you know, as when this fight's over. AJ has always been a little bit unstable. You know what I mean? If you go back to the Andy Ruiz fight, that first one, where the rumor was that he had a nervous breakdown in the dressing room before he came out. Whatever, and it's always been a mental game with Anthony Joshua, because I believe he's got the skills, but, you know, then you got his chin. You know, they say he's a little bit chinny, but he's getting hit by 200-pound guys, you know. He's going to be chinny. Everybody's chinny at heavyweight.
Well, he's that, you know, when you look at guys that are built like him, that those round muscle bellies, the short muscle belly fibers,
yeah.
And the, you know, the fast twitch guys,
yep.
The guys like him, David Haye, Andre Berto, Jean Pascal, they all are explosive, but they all tend to fade in fights, right?
Yeah.
And the more aggressive he gets, the more energy he's going to expend. And the reason why he's not as aggressive is because he gasses out, decides to pace himself. Klitschko is the same way. He would gas out later in the fight. And that's how he would get stopped due to exhaustion.
I know, like, he has a problem with stamina. Can that be corrected?
Well, if it's mental. But once again, like I said, I think he's like that 40-yard dash guy. He's not the marathon runner.
Right.
That's just the way – a lot of it has to do with genetics, too.
If this was a 6-round fight, he'd be great. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because he's got that, you know,
yeah.
He's not going to get tired. But, you know, because he's in great shape, and you know he runs and he does all his cardio and everything he's supposed to do, some people just don't have that kind of stamina. And I don't know that that's something that can be trained. I don't know.
But then when you factor in the adrenaline, right, and the mental
that's
pressure.
That's a big part of that, too, because that brings you quick, too.
Yes, and as you said, you know, nervous breakdown, you know, whatever, if that's true or not, whatever. But he just, I don't know, man, he just seems like this is becoming too much for him.
Tony Mann in the chat says, lose more muscles, ? And,
no.
You know, well, I kind of disagree. I kind of agree with him in the sense that that's what he did with Ruiz. He leaned out. And he was able to move around. He was able to box. He looked much better.
Okay, but here's the thing.
And didn't gas in that fight, by the way.
I mean, it was a different type of fight. Ruiz wasn't really throwing a lot of punches that fight. He was he wasn't pressuring him because he was so slow he couldn't cut the distance in that fight. And Joshua just basically was throwing – he wasn't throwing hard punches, right? He wasn't putting his putting any mustard on a lot of these shots. But what I'm saying is, yeah, you could lose weight, whatever. That could help a little bit. But once again, your genetics are what your genetics are. Like if you're if you are genetically predisposed to have a lot of fast twitch muscle fibers and not a lot of slow twitch, then you could lose weight, whatever. But the majority of your fibers are still going to be fast twitch. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can improve a little bit, but I don't know. I think just genetically, he's never going to be that marathon runner.
Yeah, that could be too. Tony Yeo says, did Holyfield have good stamina? He looked like an Adonis during his prime. No, he did not have good stamina. I don't believe he did anyway. I know there was a lot of fights where I watched him, and he just, again, faded down the stretch. You know, I think it depends. Like, look at James Toney. Guys like James Toney who could box 12 rounds like he's, you know, going to the movies or something like that.
Guys like Wilder has those long muscles. You know, Wilder is a genetic freak. I think he's blessed with both fast twitch and slow twitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Wilder's a very well-conditioned guy. People can say what they want about Wilder, but he was taking big shots from Fury, and it took Fury 11 rounds to get him out of there. And he was still and he was hurt in that fight, and he got knocked down a few times, and then he comes back and knocks Fury down after that. I'm just going to say it, and I don't care what anyone says, and people can say what they want. Joshua doesn't finish that fight after getting knocked down twice He doesn't finish that fight.
No.
Fury, he doesn't get up like Fury gets.
Fury's a different kind of guy mentally.
He's a different
animal mentally. He just is.
Wilder's not built like Joshua and those other guys. He's the long, lanky. He's got that swimmer, that basketball player.
He looks like a basketball player, you know. And in fact, we joked about it. When I interviewed him, he joked about it. And he said that a lot of people were mistaken for LeBron James. It was before he changed his hairstyle or whatever, that a lot of people mistaken for LeBron James and stuff like that, which I thought was really funny. But, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, man. He's got that kind of build. He's got that Tommy Hearns kind of build, you know.
You know, a lot of people, they like to discredit Wilder, man. I mean, you could argue he's a second. He's the third best heavyweight in the world behind Fury and Joyce. He used to be the second best, but Joyce just is.
What about Jake Paul? Jake Paul's a heavyweight. I think Jake Paul could go heavyweight. Anyway, the chicken legs Wilder. I don't know, man. I think Wilder gets in the Hall of Fame. No, I don't think. I think that's a no-brainer.
I vote him in.
Yeah. What do you have? Like 10 title defenses?
Something like that. In his era, I don't think anyone's had more title defenses than him.
No.
In his era, consecutive?
No. I don't think so either. Guy's got to get some credit for that, man.
He's been champion the longest in his era.
Yeah, all for sure.
Most defenses.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I think, like I said, man, do you think he comes back?
Something's telling me he won't come back.
I don't think he comes back either, man.
I don't think he comes back either.
I think if he was going to come back, he'd already come back. Because he's already announced that he wants to come back. But,
you know, a lot of times you hear people say, "Oh, you know, I'm happy now. I'm this, I'm that." And sometimes you question it. I really believe he's happy.
Oh yeah,
I really do. He's got a beautiful family. He's got a beautiful. His fiance is just, she's a beautiful woman, but she's like you could tell she's there for him. You know what I mean? They just seem like I don't know them obviously, but they just seem like they have a great relationship. He seems like he has a beautiful relationship with his family. He's got a lot of friends. He's got a lot. He invested his money well. He's into, like, in businesses and stuff in the area. Just seeing his reaction to getting that statue. It was a beautiful moment.
That was pretty cool. I was really happy for him. I really was.
Like I said, I hated all that Glovegate stuff, but I just think that that's not the real Wilder. I like the Wilder coming up is the guy that I think is underneath all of that.
I think the Wilder we interviewed was a real Wilder.
That's the real Wilder. I just don't think the Glovegate is the real Wilder. That's just my opinion. Again, who are you to say? What do you know? That's fine. Again, this is an opinion show. I'm giving my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, Lisa's texting me again. What are you doing out of the kitchen? Hopefully, you're making my dinner. How about that? Listen to my show. Bothering me, Steve, on my time. She's over here texting me like I ain't got nothing going on.
Well, she's not all. She's captain of the ship over there. You got to respect that.
Captain of the kitchen. All right. Respect that. All right.
Jesus Christ. I ain't touching that one.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Is Wilder still rated a third on the box rec list?
I think he's second in the ring.
I guess until he gives an official retirement, I don't know.
He's ranked number one by the WBC.
There it is right there. Lord are going full Johnny Depp daddy. That's how it is. He liberated the guys, man. That's what he did. Love Johnny Depp.
Yeah, who is ranked number one at heavyweight?
I was just joking. I didn't mean any of that. All right. I guess I deserve that. Oh, B. See what kind of trouble you get me into, B? Now she's got her nose pressed against the window, yelling at me.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Unbelievable. All right, guys. Well, that's going to do it, man. That'll do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. As always, you can catch Joe Habib on Twitter at JHabib1. Find our YouTube channel at ringsidereporterlive.com. And then you can find me on Twitter at ringside73. And we're going to catch you guys next week.